Yeah, well, let's get to barbecuing some attorneys right about now. Because that's what we've got to do. Because essentially, at attorneybusters.com, we try to go ahead and expose the corruption out there inside of the courtrooms, the ones that are taking place at the hands of attorneys. Now, last week, I got to say, and I'll tell my first-time listeners, I don't know if you guys picked this up yet, but I am not a stinking attorney, and I'm proud to say that. And you know, again, I will tell you this. I will tell you this, that I cannot say honestly that all attorneys out there at this time are not bad, because even the ones that proclaim to be good, they are the same ones that Catherine Cryer, in her book called The Case Against Lawyers, and the same one that Catherine Cryer, when she interviewed on my program here a few weeks ago, said that they will not stand up and tell you individuals out there about the problems that we have. And they will not do anything to stop us from getting ran over by another attorney inside of this judicial system, because they're all part of that same rat pack that simply bleeds us dry for legal fees. Now, you individuals out there that maybe have not had the opportunity or the experience yet with actually dealing with an attorney, and you might think that some of the callers that call into our program today are just venting sour grapes. You know what? When you people start to get run over yourselves and you start crying for help and you want to go to somebody out there, the only place you're going to be able to go at this time is attorneybusters.com. And we're going to be talking today about the State Bar of California, which is the biggest fraud in the state of California. This self-regulatory, self-righteous organization, organized by attorneys, run by attorneys, it is not a state agency. It is not a state agency. And we're going to place some phone calls today to the State Bar, and I'm going to start conducting an investigation upon how they conduct their investigations. And let's see how they hold up to the scrutiny of attorneybusters.com. Because I'm going to be reading some emails to you today, and we're going to be calling some attorneys today, and we're going to be leaving messages for these lovely gentlemen at their offices. I know on Sunday we can't get through to them because, you know, they're either out by the pool having a martini, or maybe they're laying around on the freeways waiting for an ambulance to go out and chase there, because they, I'll tell you what, these people are no good. So we're going to go ahead and we're going to be talking about, essentially, the State Bar of California today. We're going to be updating on a case back in Wisconsin that I was the person that broke the story. Right now, it's called the it's about Stephen Magritz, about an individual that tried to essentially have addressed a crime that he believes was committed by a county counsel out there, a county attorney out there, that essentially had removed court files from the court clerk's office. And then when Mr. Magritz tried to draw attention to this, because it involved him having his property foreclosed upon that was worth about $600,000, they foreclosed on his property for $30,000 in taxes. Right. In other words, $30,000 in taxes, a $600,000 piece of property. This county does not sell that property. They decide to turn it into a park. Well, you know what? What happens to that other $70,000 that should have been belonging to that man? It's gone. But then what they do is they decide they're going to try to turn this man into what they call a paper terrorist, because he's sending letters out pleading with people to please investigate this matter. And what happens? They get him put in jail, and they get him prosecuted by a task force that was set up after the USA Patriot Act was set up. And there is nothing but a bunch of smut and smear, and we're going to also be talking about how general media are complicit inside of this. Yeah, I am going to be reading an article that was written back in Wisconsin covering the story of this Mr. Magritz, that at his sentencing this last week, actually on I think the 17th of January, I sent an 11th hour letter to that judge. And when that judge got this letter that was about ready to sentence Mr. Magritz, inside of my 5-page letter, I pointed out to this judge that the prosecuting attorney had known of a issue of a case before involving Mr. Magritz concerning Catherine Doyle being James Doyle, that's governor of Wisconsin, but then the attorney general of Wisconsin, that this judge should be aware that there's much more than meets the eye that was going on inside of this case. And when I sent that letter there, this judge, instead of deciding to sentencing this man to 70 years, brought it down to 5 years. And I tell you now, my good listeners, this was just the opening volley, because first of all, they could not just set this man free, because it would show too much of their guilt of what they've already done. So now they have this man held captor, essentially in a jail cell. But I am pushing forward, because I am now calling up, and I have called up the Osaki Police Department, the Osaki DA. This is where all this matter took place at. And I'm telling them, I have tape recordings of a county attorney saying to me that, yes, the court clerk files were at his office. Let me make it clear, folks. That is a crime. You cannot take court clerk files out of the court clerk's office, not even if you are the county attorney. So now, when I'm now trying to have that matter investigated, I'm getting this runaround. And I'm talking to, as I said, first I start with contacting the DA's office out there. Well, they say, well, gee, you know, I don't know, you know, before we can investigate anything, my fine feathered friend, you have got to go to the police department. Okay. Dick, 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 dick. I call up and I talk to the police department, Captain Keller at the police department. And I tell them, well, you know, I have evidence that shows that the county clerk there had given the court clerk files out to this county attorney. And I want to have this investigated. Well, gee, you know, I really think that you got to contact the DA's office to be able to handle that matter for you. Oh, a ping, a pong, a ping, a pong. Now we start the ping, a pong, a back and forth. Are we just going to have a good time here, right? No, nonsense. It is not going to happen. So what I do is undaunted, and what I'm doing all during this time, they're hearing this beep, beep. I'm saying, now, you hear that beep? That means this conversation is being recorded. And the reason why I'm recording these conversations is because, you know, right now, you people out in Wisconsin, you individuals out in Wisconsin that got yourself involved in putting this man in jail, they did it by trying to say that he was terrorizing them with these letters. Well, I told them, I want to make sure that they don't try to say that I'm trying to terrorize them with my phone calls. But you want to know something? I know that my telephone calls are terrorizing them, because you know what happens when you get an evil force on the other side and you start to bring it out into the light? They feel terror, and they feel terror in their hearts. And I'm going to show you individuals out there. This is InfoJustice@AttorneyBusters.com. InfoJustice is not a talking head. I am not a talking head. InfoJustice, you call me, and we're going to jump all over this, and we're going to embarrass these people, and we're going to play some phone calls today to start that embarrassment going firsthand. This is Gene Forte, AttorneyBusters.com, InfoJustice. Come back for the barbecue. It's going to be a good one today. Right now, and let me just pop my suspenders for one moment. In about 1985, I actually acted as an investigator and handled some investigations of a case called Dr. Carl A. Galloway versus Dan Rather, a CBS in 60 Minutes. And was actually involved in truth in journalism and investigative reporting. And I happened to work with a man by the name of Mr. Clark Mollenhoff, who was a Pulitzer Prize winning journalist, who was won a Pulitzer Prize for investigations of essentially the corruption of, I believe it was, racketeering of trade unions with politicians and government officials. So you know what? Even I might not, because I'm not an attorney, it doesn't mean I'm an idiot here. And I do have some investigative blood in my veins. So let's see if they can turn the heat up on that, which essentially leads me back to the story of Stephen Magritz, a case that I followed back in Wisconsin. But I'm going to show that what these individuals did in Wisconsin, Mr. James Doyle, the acting governor there, used a anti-terrorist type of a build-up and fraud act, essentially, against this Mr. Magritz to encompass this, to get him elected to the governorship of Wisconsin. It goes into, like, you know, his sister being involved in a lawsuit. But I'll tell you this, that on the 17th, there was an article that came out in a newspaper back there called the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and this was written by a reporter by the name of Jeff Cole. Now, what he does is, in this document, in this letter, what he states is, I want you to read this paragraph. He said, a letter from a Carmel, California radio program talk show host asked Faust to sentence Magritte to time served and probation. The host, Gene 40, that's moi, said in his letter that Magritte did what he did only because he was trying to get somebody to listen to his side of the foreclosure against him. All right. Well, now let me read to you the very first paragraph of a letter I sent to the judge, which was made part of a sentencing hearing. My name is Gene 40, and I am the producer and host of a radio program called AttorneyBusters.com, which broadcasts on KRLA 870 AM Smart Talk in Los Angeles. Now, he boiled that down to say I was somehow a talk show host on some little tiny station, which I am not on, over here in Carmel, California. He doesn't mention AttorneyBusters.com, and he doesn't mention that really the whole gist of my letter was saying that Mr. Magritte wasn't concerned about having his side of the foreclosure proceedings heard. What he was saying, his main allegation was, as I state here in my letter, the long and short of the interviews I conducted conclude me to believe that Mr. Magritte was a person who was pushed beyond the rational limits of having a grievance addressed concerning his allegations against Yosaki County Attorney Counsel, Mr. Keneally, that saying he had removed his answer to the foreclosure proceedings. Entirely different. So you know what I did? I called up this Jeff Cole. I got him on the line. I said, Jeff, Gene 40 here. Oh, yeah. Hi, Gene. Hey, Jeff, you hear the recording going? Well, yeah, I do. Jeff, you know, I'd like to ask you a few questions about how you conducted and how you did this investigation of this case. I go, would you do an interview with me on my radio program? Well, I'm going to have to ask for my boss first. Will you call me back? Well, yeah, I'll call you back tomorrow. Well, the next day, he didn't call me back. I waited another 2 days. He didn't call me back. I called him again. Jeff answers, hey, Jeff, Gene 40. Oh, you know, I've been really busy. I haven't had a chance to get back to you yet. I'll call you tomorrow. Well, you know, 2 or 3 days now have gone by. He didn't call me back again. So what I did was I called him again. And I left a message this time on his voicemail saying, Jeff, are you going to call me back or not? Because I really want to ask you how you individuals out there were able to take the letter that I wrote and boil it down that somehow as a talk show host out in Carmel, California. Actually, I'd asked him that at the very first conversation. You know what he said? Oh, well, it's just editing. I will tell all you individuals listening right now that I've got the governor of Wisconsin on the lam. I've got a guy by the name of Roy Corti, who is the assistant and deputy district attorney, going on the lam back there. I got the DA's department hiding behind their desk from my phone calls. I called at the court clerk's office. I've been leaving a phone message for a man by the name of Mr. Jeffrey Schmidt there for about 4 weeks. Every time I called, this person there by the name of Karen said, he's in a meeting. I said, finally, after about 5 messages, I said, hey, don't you think he's going to ever call me back? Doesn't he want to talk? Oh, no, he wants to talk to you. Well, you know what? Then I finally called this week. And what did he say? Karen says, well, you know, Mr. Schmidt said he's not going to call you back. Like, duh. What a surprise. They are running and hiding right now. And please, individuals, stand up with me, AttorneyBusters.com. We can take our courts back. We are going to embarrass the California State Bar. This State Bar runs herd on 180,000 attorneys, billing $21 billion a year. They are self-regulated. They are ripping us blind. They're taking the blood out of us. And I got to say one other thing. God rest all the souls of those individuals on the Columbia. But you know what? Even when you hear about that tragedy today, you know what happens? We've been so dull and so desynthesized because of the injustice received from all these other people out there right now, being these attorneys and judges, that we have to focus right back and say, we've got to take care of the problems we have now. That is where it's happened. We have nothing but moral decay, and we have it all caused right now by attorneys committing crimes and judges ignoring it. And that's why we've got a case against lawyers, and that's why we've got to tell these judges to basically hit the road. Hit the road, Judge, and don't you come back no more. What you say at attorneybusters.com. Gene 40. Info Justice. Tell these judges to hit the road. Follow us on the investigation of the California State Bar. It will be an honest one, and we're going to bust their butts. Have a good Sunday.